Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today? It is a gorgeous day. It's a little warm, but it's gorgeous. It's fairly cool in here yet. We'll get things heated up pretty soon. Let's see. How about we turn? Are we turning or are we singing overhead? Welcome him here overhead soon and very soon. I'm going to let you sit on this one. So here we go. Thanks, Kim. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for getting us here today. Thank you for the beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for getting our old bodies out of bed, getting up and getting here today, Lord. Thank you for my church family, Lord. Most of them showed up today. Thanks for all the other folks that showed up too, Lord. Thanks for just the good week, Lord, being there for us always. We can cast our cares on you, Lord, because you care for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can spread Christian love while we're here in church and when we go back home, Lord, on the job or wherever. Help us to remember, Lord, to smile, say hi, to just talk to people, Lord. Let them know and see that there's something different about us, Lord. Help them to see in our hearts, Lord, that you live there. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today. Thanks for my pastor and his wife, that they're both here also. Thanks, they're committed to your word. Pastor's going to preach here shortly, Lord. Guide him, Lord. Direct him. Empower him today. That message you put in his heart, Lord, I pray that it speaks to every person in this room today. And Lord, if some soul needs you today, Lord, as Savior or whatever, I pray, Lord, that person gets right before they leave this building. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you that we can still come here to church, Lord, and be with each other, sing songs, and listen to our pastor. Thank you for this time, Lord. Just guide and direct. In Jesus' name, amen. You already be seated, so that's good. Let's see, how about one more song? And Jason's going to lead us on this one, on How Excellent Is Your Name.
Amen. How excellent is your name.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name is, how excellent your name in all the earth. Your glory fills the heavens beyond the farthest star, how excellent your name in all the earth. When I think about the heavens, the moon and all the stars, I wonder what you ever saw in me. But you took me and you loved me, and you've given me a crown. and now I praise your name eternally. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name is, how excellent your name in all the earth. Your glory fills the heavens beyond the farthest star. How excellent your name in all the earth. When I think about the heavens, the moon and all the stars, I wonder what you ever saw in me. But you took me and you loved me, and you've given me a crown. And now I praise your name eternally. Amen.
We'll do that, and again, that is a good one there. Let's see. Already prayed. How about we do announcements real quick, can we? Here we go. Tonight, 6 o'clock, evening service. Get back for that, folks. You're missing out if you ain't here. We also have a baptismal service, and then our message is on the commitment and identification. And we're going to have a baptismal tonight. Little one's going to be baptized. The open door of baptism, upcoming events, communion today, don't forget. Personal evangelism, the September 5th and 19th, Iron Sharpens Iron, on the 2nd and the 16th.
Quarterly business meeting is the 10th. Let Pastor Deb know by the 6th. If you have any items that you want to add to the agenda. Women's Bible study is September 12th. Family Fun Night is the 13th. And there's a question mark on that, so there's some things going on there. Pay attention to this one. Church Picnic, September 30th. Okay, that is a change. You showed up down there 15th or 16th, you're going to be by yourself. So let's see. Film Night is the 17th. We have a music meeting the 24th of September. Women's Missionary meeting is on the 29th, and let's see, and it will be at Kay Terhune's home. That's already passed. Don't show up for that one either. You'll be the only one there. Pastor's thought for the week is our works don't save us. Our works prove that we're saved. What's your work record like? Wow. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness shown upon us each and every day of our lives, Lord. Sometimes we don't always agree, Lord, with what's going on, but you're there for us, Lord, always, Lord. Help us to rely on you. Help us to lean on you, Lord. Help us to know you. We're going to take up an offer now, Lord. I just pray that you would be with the gift and the giver. May we give hilariously, Lord, and under great humility, that we can give a small portion back to you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Sharon's going to come up and play for us. Thank you.
Great reminder that our prayer lives are essential to a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust you're having a good day. This is always a very popular weekend with people that have just returned back to school with a little time of vacation again and before we get back into the real flow of things for the season. But I trust today that you are going to get some relaxation in the Lord over this weekend as well. And be sure to give him preference as we take a little time of relaxation. And always, he is due all of our thanks and our accolades, is he not, for his goodness to us. Anyway, it's good to be with you this morning. I trust that, again, you're here today to not only bring glory to God, but to be fed on his word and to fellowship. Be sure to take interest in others around you today. Be sure to realize that many people here have needs. But also many people here have things that they can do to help you with your needs. And so that's called the church, the interaction of the believers. And today as we come and celebrate the Lord's resurrection today. So hopefully you all have a smile on your face and you're excited about where you're at in life. And, you know, we learned that this morning in some of the singing. We have a bright future to look forward to in heaven. We may have some rocky roads on this side of it, but let me just assure us all on the basis of the Word of God and what Jesus has promised, there's good things on the way. And whatever you're enduring today is temporary, especially if you're a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not, folks, there is help and hope in Christ. And this brokenness and the things we go through in this world are only temporary for the believer. But I do want to warn us, if we have failed to receive the gift of salvation in Christ, the future is not bright. But Jesus wants that for us. That's why he did what he did out of love for us. Well, welcome and hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend. So this morning, I just want to be sure that everyone knows that you're welcome here at Fruitland. The title of our message this morning is Labor in the Lord, with the theme of Labor Day. An integral part of the Christian experience. So that might be some food for thought this morning. Are you involved in labor for the Lord, which I believe is commanded to be a part of the Christian experience if you're a born-again believer here today? But before we go any further this morning, we need to pray, and then we'll delve into the Word and see what God has for us today. Father, thanks once again for this day of gathering. Your grace and mercy is yet extended. Lord, I stand in awe of you today, of what a wonderful God you are, and you've displayed yourself in so many ways, Lord, that show that and that reinforce that in our lives. And yet, Lord, we live in a world where there is much doubt. And Lord, we know that the doubter is destined for trouble, because you say it's just the opposite. When we are enlightened about you and come to know who you are, Lord, we must believe, we must have faith. And so I pray today, Lord, for all that in this world that are doubting, that they would not doubt you, who are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, that they would investigate the sincerity and the trustworthiness of everything you have said and done, Lord, and they would commit their lives and their trust, again, for their eternal life to you this day. Now, I thank you for all that have come out. We thank you for a respite this weekend, a little break for most of us from work. As, again, Lord, we need to be mindful of the work that you have done for us. And, Father, to give you honor and glory in that. Today, Lord, I pray for all people here. I pray, too, that there would be a soul here today, Lord, that is not a born-again child of God, that this might be the day your Spirit would call them. I pray you would reinforce and reinvigorate our spiritual lives for those that are born again, Lord, that we'd be excited about what you have in the program that lies ahead. Lord, as always, we know there are people that are missing on any given Sunday of our own number, but we also acknowledge that we have a community right outside of our walls here. And Lord, we'd love to see them all assimilated here at Fruitland Baptist Church. We'd love to see them worshiping you here, serving here, Lord, to be saved to be brought into the family of God. Lord, that's what it's all about. I pray you'll empower and enrich our church here, Lord, your church, for that mission work that lies right outside of our walls. Lord, I pray for Fruitland Days next Saturday as we are there to represent you. And I pray, Lord, that again, there'd be people that would stop at our table, that would want to visit, that we'd have something there to offer, Lord, that is unlike what the world has to offer. So I pray you would bless those endeavors, Lord, and I pray that you'll raise the people up to be a part of that. Lord, now we do acknowledge there are people in our number that are ill. Some are maybe discouraged. Some are angry today, Lord. Some may have been just had a fight or something at home. All kinds of things. Some might have said, I just don't want to go today. But Lord, wherever people are at today, I know you'll meet their needs through your riches and glory. And Father, I pray that they will turn to you today and again be fed and satisfied, Lord, with your living water, that they'll never thirst again. Now, Lord, I have a responsibility and a joy to bring forth the word today, and that's tough for me, Lord, and I believe it's getting tougher in some ways. But I've learned to understand, Lord, that I must rely on you, and it is only by the power of the Spirit and the grace, Lord, that you give us in mercy that a message can be brought forth. But I pray you'll use it today, Lord, for your glory, and that you'll give me the power of the Spirit, Lord, because I am weak, but you are strong. So I pray you'll bless our time in the Word, and I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a sidebar, as I prayed, if any of you are interested, it would surely be good if you would want to have a few moments to spend with us next Saturday, Lord willing, down at the park. Just come along. We'll have a tent set up and some chairs and a table, but just be there to talk to your friends and neighbors as they pass through or people that are visiting. And we'll have a nice table there, literature. But the most important thing is just to have a presence there for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask that you do that. Also, if anyone's interested in doing something for the parade, you can say a word to me. I have an idea, but it's not something I can pull off on my own. But we need to be present here. This is where God has planted us. I'm using a lot of P words this morning. And we need to shine a reflective light of the Lord Jesus Christ to our friends and neighbors around us. Anyway, hope you're having a good day. We're going to get started, friends in Christ. With this being Labor Day weekend that honors labor and laborers, by the way, most of the time on the farm, we labored on Labor Day. we tried to maybe have a little picnic lunch or something like that, but usually the work was there that needed done. But we have had a wonderful period here, haven't we, lately, of good weather. We certainly do need rain, and Lord, that's in your hands, but we've had beautiful days. Aren't these wonderful days? Cloudless skies, nice breeze. I mean, it's a little warm, but that isn't anything too bad today, I don't think. But I was led to speak on the subject of labor, correct? And specifically how it revolves around the Christian experience. Because God does expect, and we need to remember that we don't owe a debt to God. He paid our debt. But we do, again, as a child of God and realizing what he's done for us, he's called us to work in his harvest field. He wants us to work. He doesn't force you to do that. But I want to just say this morning. If you don't want to work for the Lord, you're missing out on one of the greatest things ever. Because I'll tell you what, folks, if you really want to draw closer to the Lord and you want to see his program fulfilled in your life, there's a thing that's called on-the-job training for a lot of people. I liked on-the-job training. It's better than book training because it's real-life experience. But you want to draw closer to Christ today, you're feeling distant from him, get to work for Jesus Christ. A start has come right down there to Fruitland Days or things like that. Get involved with people for Jesus. By the way, Jesus is a people person. He's a people God. It's about people. And so what he has called us to do revolves around loving people. Okay. Anyway, some thoughts on labor today that we find in God's Word. First point is this, and if you have your Bible or your device along with you today, we're going to be going to Genesis 2:15. And yes, I believe that work is a gift from God. I'll tell you what, if you talk to people that have been handicapped or that are handicapped, And I've found this in my experience. They wish they could work. If you're able-bodied, always thank God for work and be a part of it, because He designed it as something that is good for humanity. It is good for you physically, it is good for you mentally, and it is good for you spiritually. For you and I. I'm not just talking to you this morning. But God gave the gift of work. And He gave it, and we know it's a gift because He gave it before man fell into sin, back in the Garden of Eden. He gave the gift of work to remind man and to receive satisfaction and benefits in bringing glory to God. Before the fall of man, God instituted work as a way to bring glory to God and satisfaction to humanity. You will always feel better if you work. Let's see that proven out. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And so there you find it. Before there was ever a sin committed, before Adam and Eve fell, God said, Adam, for you and your descendants, work is going to be a good thing because it will bring glory to God. It is profitable for you physically, mentally, spiritually. Okay? And so labor is not a dirty word. Work is a four-letter word, but it is not a dirty word. And even a lot of work gets you dirty. And I tell you the truth, folks, I like a little dirt. I've got a little under my fingernails, a little grease, you know? It's good for you to get out there. It's good for the skin. Get a little dirt on it once in a while. And roll around in the dirt. Anyway, it's a way to glorify God and to bring satisfaction in your life. That's work. Now, let's look at this a little further. Keep your fingers there and go over to Genesis chapter 3, 17 through 19, because things did change after the fall of Adam and Eve. After sin brought forth the curse, and of course, death was introduced into the picture, and eternal death even. But here's the thing to remember. After the fall, work still has those same benefits. Did you hear that clearly? God did not negate what He said in Genesis 2:15 to Adam. He said work still is going to be beneficial, but things are going to change. But now because of what has happened, there is a challenge that reminds us all the time of our sin. Now, the last several days, and I don't know why it is, and where is Kim this morning? She must be downstairs. Yeah. I've said, Kim, I ache all over. Have any of you had that lately? The last four or five? I don't have the flu or anything like that. I'm just sore as can be. And Kim says, you need to be rejoicing. I said, I am rejoicing, but it hurts. I think it's arthritis, I really do, and the effects of that and so forth. But you know what, folks? Every time when we work, usually, even though we feel better because of it, we endure aches and pains. We endure injuries. We endure things because of the fall that we were never designed to do. And therefore, most of us, probably when we roll out of bed in the morning, and by the way, we've had some wonderful sunrises and the dawn and sunsets. The last couple of years, they've just been spectacular every day, the way I see it anyway. But you know what? We ought to rise up every morning and say, glory to God, there's that light in the eastern sky that reminds us you've given us another day of your grace, Lord. You're still in control of all things. But let's face it, folks, especially when you get a few years on your carcass, what do you also say every day? Oh, oh. And you know what? Folks, that's a reminder every day of the curse. It's a reminder. And many of us would say, I don't want to do this again tomorrow, what we've done. But most of us get up and do it again because that's how we earn our living. Isn't that right? But it reminds us of the curse. But when we're reminded of the curse, we also ought to be reminded of what? The blessings of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in our salvation. See, this all works together for good. Like Romans 8:28 said, to those who love God, to those who are the called, according to His purpose. So after the fall, work still had the benefits, but now it became a challenge, reminding us of our sin. Let's look at 3:17 through 19. Genesis 3:17 through 19, and I've got to go back one page. I turned one too many. Yes, no, I didn't. I was on the right page. No, I wasn't. Genesis 3, 17 through 19, as soon as old John gets it found here. I really struggle sometimes getting these pages apart. If someone has it, go ahead and read it, because I'm really having trouble here. Thorns and thistles, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth, verse 18, to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And here's the key, folks, 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. God says work is going to be tough. It's not going to be what we want to do. But folks, we can face it, thinking once again about what's happened with the tragic events that caused us to plunge. We were plunged into sin. The race was plunged into sin, but also the blessing of the salvation of the Lord. And so this will always be a challenge to us. God told us it very plainly there in that passage that if we're going to eat, we're going to have sweat. By the way, I think I've been sweating since about the 1st of May this year. Every day. Anyway, also go to 2 Thessalonians 3:10 real quickly, just as a reminder, and you've heard this in the not too distant future, but 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, but 8:15 are applicable, but we'll cut the corners today. But essentially, this is where Paul and Timothy came to minister, and you know what? They worked. They didn't expect people to take care of them, okay? Even though Paul says it was legitimate for that to be done if the people wanted to give, he set the example by working. And of course, the classic verse here that we find in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says the following: for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And so again, work is required for our daily sustenance. You've heard the saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And folks, it's true. Somewhere along the line, there is a cost to everything. Never forget that. Jesus paid the price. We ought to do what he says and understand that work has its benefits. Second thing that we need to look at this morning on this Labor Day weekend, and this is some really good news, folks. It's all good news, unless, again, we're a foul of the Word of God or we're not following, then it should be a warning today to get on track. But the good news is our salvation is not accomplished by our good works. Good works are important, but it is not to accomplish our salvation. I wish I could hear a hallelujah, praise God, on that this morning here from this group. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. You may be a lot different than I am, but my works won't cut it for my salvation. See, I'm a broken article from the get-go. We're born into sin. I'm a sinner. I, at this point in my life, am a sinner saved by grace. But there is nothing I can do eternally or in the way, again, to line up to take care of my sins. I don't have the capability. And folks, neither do you. And therefore, the only work that can save us is the work of the perfect one, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We'd all be doomed here this morning apart from Jesus. You don't need to be doomed here this morning. Jesus came and paid that price. He's the only one that could. Ephesians 2:8-9. We are not saved by our works. We're saved by grace of God, the grace of God through faith in God. Ephesians 2:8-9, we want to be very careful about that, because that is a water that has been muddied throughout the ages, that somehow we're responsible for our salvation. Well, we are responsible for it, but we're responsible to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is, folks, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace, that's God's unmerited favor, are you saved through faith, okay? That's through faith in him. And read this very carefully, folks. And that not of yourselves. We can do nothing to save ourselves. It is purely the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Because if it was of our works, we would be saying what? Look what I've done. Look about me. Folks, when we think about our salvation, all we can say is, look to Him. Amen. Praise God. We can't work our way to heaven. Don't believe any of this stuff that people have told you. You've seen it plainly here, and it's evident throughout the Scriptures. It's by God's grace, and it's a gift by trusting in Him alone. Jesus is the one that labored for you and I on the cross of Calvary. It was His work on Calvary's cross that allows us to be freed of the penalty, power, and eventually the presence of sin. Hallelujah, amen. I'm getting overexcited about this morning. No, I'm not. You can't get overexcited on that. There's no circuit breaker on excitement for the Lord. But I think maybe some have had their breakers tripped and they need reset. What do you think about that? Anyway, if you need your breaker reset, Jesus is the one who will do it for you. This is something to be thankful about on this Labor Day weekend. Our salvation is not by good works. Because of the work of, that Jesus did to provide salvation freely to us, then we find what we see in the, for the third point here, or the second point here today, that we ought to produce good works for God's glory because of our salvation. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Corinthians and with chapter 15, can someone just tell me quickly what chapter 15 is about? It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The capstone of our salvation. Jesus could not just come to the cross and die for our sins, to bear our sins and shed His blood, but without the power of the resurrection, we might as well all go home today. I don't know what's on TV. You go out and sit in the lawn and enjoy. I like to sit in the lawn. Someone stole my chair. Kim bought me this beautiful lounge chair, oh, maybe 5 years ago. I haven't seen it in 4 years. But I have a pretty good idea where it's at. It resides at a house in Wilton that belongs to my son Mark, the big oaf. Somehow it got transposed into his household. That's okay. He's a good, well, he's not good, but he's like all of us. He's a sinner saved by grace. But he's got my comfortable chair. Anyway, I can sleep anywhere, though. I can even sleep covered with flies sitting in the truck. Marlon will prove that out to you. Yeah, they're friends. I get along with them well. But here it is, 1 Corinthians 15:58. By the way, who's discouraged in here this morning? You don't need to tell me, but don't you lie to me, because my hand's up. Sometimes I get discouraged. Sometimes I get discouraged even in the Lord's work. Sometimes I'd like to shake the daylights out of this church. And sometimes you'd like to shake the daylights out of me. Amen, right? Hallelujah. Denny will tell it, see? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15:58, this sums up the whole thing. That's why Paul said, therefore. He said, therefore is therefore because of wherefore, because what he said about the resurrection. I hope you're excited about the resurrection today. But here's what Paul says. Therefore, because of the resurrection, my beloved brethren, give up. Don't be committed. You know, the lingo of the modern day world. You can't count on anything or anyone. Well, let me tell you something today, folks. You can count on Jesus. And we better be able to count on Jesus' people. And that's what Paul said. He says, therefore, because of that resurrection, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. You know what that means? Faithful. Faithful. We've got seats here today. I understand people are on vacation. There's all kinds of things go on. I've been praying one day we'll see this church filled with the people that already know they need to be here that are a part of this. Then when we see more people coming, then you're going to see things really get exciting. I think Fruitland ought to be in a building program in the next 5 years. By the way, it's going to be one of two things. It's either going to be a build or a die. But Jesus says, don't quit. He says, be steadfast, faithful, unmovable. This is another word that's not used in our modern terminology very much. It means to be dedicated. By the way, it means effort. You know, I don't like the fact that we call this a morning worship service. I'm not here to service you folks. We're not here to service the Lord Jesus. We're here for what? A purpose. A purpose. It's not just service. And then he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Energetic and eager is what I've got written here for that word abounding. Always abounding. Energetic and eager. We just heard that word here a few weeks ago, didn't we? Eager. Now, of course, you know the mascot for Wilton is the Beavers. Only one of two schools in the whole country. And Kim and I ended up being alumni of a school with the Beavers for the mascot. Well, a lot of people used to find it funny. But the point is what? Eagerness. How often do we see that in today's world too? Among the Christians. Always abounding, and there's the four-letter word. In the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is never, never, never a waste of time to do things for the Lord. Look what He did for you and me. Enough said. Because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross and in the resurrection to provide us salvation, Paul says, we ought to what? He didn't force us, but we should be compelled by what Jesus has done to get with the program and to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is never in vain. It's not a waste of time. By the way, you know how I am with people. I've approached people before, maybe I've used this. I said, can you hold your hand like this? Well, yeah, that's no problem. I said, can you hold your other hand like this? Well, sure. You'll do very well with a shovel. You got to remember with me, folks, you didn't get a pastor that came from the lily white halls of... I know how to use a shovel. The question is, do I know how to use a shovel for Jesus? Get your hands dirty, get yourself busy for Jesus. You'll never regret it. Now, there's more to this than that. Look at Matthew 5:16. Jesus even gets in on this. Matthew 5:16, and I'm watching the clock, like always. Matthew 5 and 16, if someone beats me there, read it.
Let the light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
There again, there's that four-letter word. But here there's a what? An adverb added to that. Isn't it an adverb? Well, depends how you look at it with works. I think it's a verb. So I'm going to use the word, the adverb. But what's the adverb? Good works. What do you get from this? What did Jesus tell us? You need to be involved in good works. Not to be saved, but why? Exactly. Because our good works, is from what Jesus says here, He says, let these lights shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your diligent work for Jesus Christ has an impact on those that are able to see the reflective light and bring glory to God. Yeah, we're not with an excuse. There's no excuse slip that's going to be written. By the way, the worst shape that you can be in humanity, if you still have your mental faculties, you can do good works for Jesus. There's no pass. No pass. John 9:4, since we're in the gospel vicinity here. And you can find more, but we can only do a few today. But hopefully there's enough here to get us fired up. John chapter 9, verse 4. Now this is when Jesus healed a blind man. And this is something that we need to think about here. And Jesus is answering again. He was always under question. But here's what Jesus said: I must work the works of him that sent me. By the way, I believe that's applicable to us. Have you done good works for Jesus today? Not for salvation, but have you showed him how much you love him? Have you showed how much you love others through your works? But here's what Jesus said: I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. By the way, what do we look forward to at the end of every work day? When you're punching a clock, when you're under the gun from the boss, et cetera, or when you're self-employed and you know there's 10 million things that need done and you're not going to make it today. You do everything you can, but you want to do what? You want to say, you know what? I'm ready to be done for the day because I'm tired. But sometimes you can't do that. That's the way it is with Jesus. He says, guess what? Your days of working are coming to an end. By the way, none of us knows in here, young or old, when our days of working for the Lord Jesus are going to be ending. But we do know this, if we are getting along in years further, our days are coming to an end sooner than later. Amen? It's time to get to work. And Jesus says, time's running out. What will you do? By the way, we will be judged for our works, not for entrance into heaven. But Jesus didn't just talk about these things, and the writers under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit didn't just talk about these things to fill dead airspace. The Lord meant it. What are you doing with your works for the Lord Jesus Christ? Not for salvation, but to bring him glory and to be a testimony to others around us. Get involved in God's works in your walk as soon as possible, because there will be a time when we no longer can. I want to pound on the pulpit, but the fourth point today, works confirm our salvation. By the way, this is a very tricky thing with a lot of people. Oh, I think I have a part in myself. No, you don't. Other than to receive the gift. It's all been done for you. It's just a reception of the gift. Go to the book of James 2, 14 through 26. We'll have to condense here a little bit this morning. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. Now, a lot of people had trouble with this, and you may as well when you first look through this, but I think what we've been leading up to as we come to this also confirms what James is telling us here, and it confirms my thought for the week I had in the bulletin this week. Here's what he says, James 2, 14 through 26. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Well, let me just say this, folks. Faith is what saves us. But even faith is a good work. Calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation is a result of a good work. You've been led to call on him already, and I believe you're really saved before you even call on him because you've acknowledged him. But it goes hand in glove. But faith always comes first. Yeah. What does it profit? Man say he has faith, have not works. Can faith save him? Yes, but works will demonstrate that faith is real. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Very simple. Someone's in need before you. You have the ability to meet those needs, and you do nothing. Is your faith really at work? You know what? Even if you don't have the ability to meet that person's needs, your faith better be at work that says, we'll find a way. There is a way in Christ. Faith and works go hand in gloves. Glove. Faith is first, but works will be soon to follow. You agree with that? Yeah. Even so, James writes, faith, if it hath not works, and read this very carefully, is dead being alone. You can do good things for people till kingdom come, but it will not, you will not be saved by doing that. But what the point is of what James is trying to get across here is when you are saved by grace through faith, then the good works become an outflow of that faith. Where you're not just doing it to try to earn a reward, but you're trying to do it what? For Jesus, because you love him, and you love people for Jesus. You see what I'm saying there? What James is saying, what God is saying. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me my faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Boy, James got it right. Boy, people had trouble. Martin Luther wanted to throw this out of Scripture. He thought James was teaching salvation by works. Not so. He was teaching by faith, but he says works will come right along with that. You can read that passage. Our time is fleeing this morning, but our faith, our true test of faith is in our works. The good works that flow out of it. If you don't have that this morning, you have that desire, you've got a problem with your faith. Okay? Last point this morning. So works confirm our salvation. If we have faith, we will confirm it by the motivation to please God and our fruit production in good works. Last point, point five. Our works, or Revelation 14, 13. Let's read it quickly. Revelation 14 and verse 13. Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Amen? From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That's a potent verse. First of all, the Bible indicates here that there is a rest from your labors. How many of you are tired today? I admit to you, I'm tired. I've done quite a few things in my life by God's grace, but I'm tired. And you can tell, you know, I'm beginning to feel those effects. Like I said, I've been aching for several days. I don't know why. By the way, do you find as you age that things you do about 5 days earlier come to bear in the pains about 5 days later? That's Lonnie, you must have a there's a lag time there or something. Yeah. For us to get our heads on straight. But, you know, this is a pretty powerful verse here. And just let me say this. Our works for the Lord have eternal values. They must, right? Because what's it say there? Our works follow us. Eternity. What we do or don't do here on this side of eternity have a precedence of what follows us into eternity. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 16, the things that are bound on earth are bound in heaven, are bound in earth, but the things that are bound in heaven are bound in heaven. But folks, the things that we do here on earth have an eternal perspective and eternal accountability, see? They follow us. Our good works follow us. But along with that verse, it says there's rest. And our labor will end and rest will begin. Now, the Bible's very clear. We'll still be doing work in the kingdom age. And I believe in heaven, it won't be work, though, because it'll be rejoicing, praising God. But we may be back here again to dwell with the Lord through the millennial period and so forth. But the work won't be work like what we've had under the curse. It'll be joy. But folks, I believe we can have... Remember Palmer Chiropractic College up there in Davenport across from KWQC on Brady Street. Remember old Palmer had a garden up there called Little Bit of Heaven. There's still a few pots and different things. It's gone now. It's ancient history for anyone young. But you know what? Our work for the Lord can be a little bit of heaven right here on earth today. You believe that this morning? I do. I really do believe that. So, the rest will begin, but work will go on in heaven, but it will no longer be a challenge to us because sin will be gone. And folks, Jesus is our Sabbath rest. He'll be our Sabbath rest through all eternity. The Sabbath was given for rest as a reminder of God's creative work. You know what? Jesus is our Sabbath rest. When we are born again in Christ Jesus, we are born into eternal rest through Him. Folks, even the turmoil you're in today, you can be at rest with Jesus. Yep. He's our Sabbath. He's our Sabbath day rest. Again, Jesus is that rest that we will have through all eternity. Now, there's the last warning before we go to communion. Apart from Him, hell will be eternal labor and punishment with no rest. That's a big thing to think about this morning, my friends. I don't want to go through that forever. But it's going to be worse than the worst job you've ever worked. People are very flippant about saying hell on earth. We don't know what hell on earth is. It doesn't exist. As bad of a thing as you could give me today, it is not going to be anything like the lake of fire for eternity. You hate going to work on Monday morning, you're going to hate every morning in hell. By the way, there won't be any daytime in hell. No break. It's continuous. Darkness. Intermingled with fire. Something to seriously think about. The point of all this is we better get some of these things right sooner than later. Today is none too soon to start. Amen. Deacons, come on up.
Spiritual walk and so forth. Better to get those things in order and contemplate that than to receive these things unworthy. Unconfessed sin. Sin that is not caught up, maybe even with a brother or sister in Christ or other areas of our life. But with that said, we're all here free to participate in this under those regulations that the Scripture gives, and that's for each and every one to discern individually. But this is a day to celebrate and to remember what Jesus did for us. So I'm going to ask Deacon Denny to start us out here as he brings forth a thought or two and a prayer of Christ's body.
Let's share a couple of verses with these this morning out of Psalms 139. It goes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offense in me. Lead me in the everlasting way." So, our Father in heaven, we thank you again for, again, another privilege and an opportunity, Lord, to express our thoughts for you. And oh Lord, have grace and mercy upon us, Lord, as we partake in this ceremony, Lord, to remember you, what you have done for us. And Lord, as I ponder this, and a question comes up to me often, Lord, where would I be if it wasn't for you? Where would I exist today, Lord, if it wasn't for you? That I wouldn't be here in the church, Lord. Who knows, Lord, only you do. And we thank you for doing, again, for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, Lord. Help us, Lord. We need your help, Lord. And this is a time to turn to you, Lord, to ask you, Lord, to help us. Lord, it's about love, Lord, and about loving one another. That should be the question upon our hearts, Lord. Do we really love one another here, Lord? And if not, Lord, may this be the day, Lord, that you would change us. And I do pray often, Lord, for a change for all of us, Lord, and to make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The same manner also he took the cup. And I'm going to ask at this time that Deacon Lonnie would thank our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his precious, sinless, shed blood that remits our sin.
Father, thank you. through sacrifice for us. Thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus. What he went through, Lord, no man on this earth, no man did, except the man Jesus himself, could have gone through what he did. But he loved us, Lord. His compassion for us was so deep, Lord, that all he could do was sacrifice for us. His blood washes away our sin, Lord.
Yes.
It is the only way to heaven. Pastor brought that out in the message today, Lord. And here we are remembering what our Savior did for us. Thank you, Lord, for what he did. Thank you that we can know him as Savior. Lord, if someone today doesn't know, may they get right before they leave. Be it as far as we partake, help us to remember always what he did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Fruit of the vine is a reminder, exactly as he instituted that in the upper room, to cause us to think about his precious, sinless blood. Jesus said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." It was customary for the disciples to sing a hymn after these times of fellowship in the upper room. So if you're in fellowship today with the Lord Jesus Christ and one another, let's gather in the center aisle. We'll sing "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," and I'll close with the erroneous condemnation. Upon me and give me his peace both now and forever. Amen. Have a great day.
Don't bring me up.